you know, these revelations of that elites at a very high level, and we actually know the basic number of them as well, are doing human trafficking, human rape, and human sacrificing of children because they're the closest to God. And when I like read this, I mean, it's unthinkable. Like, you don't want to believe it. And so I mentioned it on Joe Rogan, but I also mentioned that I was starting an AI company. And what shocked me is after the show, more people wanted to talk about the AI thing, and more people were upset about, you know, that I was starting an AI company than they were about, you know, this nightmare of elites eating babies.
It's the first time since 2012. First time since 2012 that there are no British actors nominated for Best Actor or Best Actress. Yeah, British spokesperson said, yeah, well, at least we arrest our pedophiles. So we got that going for
us. And so then I started thinking about why is this happening? Like, and I mean, we've seen people who have spoken about it, who have, you know, been who have participated in it and who have left, you know, it's a kind of it's an initiation that you go through to become. It's a confidence initiation that you go through to become part of a team. And that's when I realized that this is not something that's unique to the elites, that human nature involves these kinds of hazing initiations, or else we wouldn't see it happening since childhood.
Andrew Breitbart, I'm quoting you, in a newspaper interview he gave last year discussing the people who run Hollywood, quote,
uh-oh,
yes, quote, I'm telling you, they're uninteresting, they're vicious, they're vitriolic. They're really, really not good people, and I'm willing to say that on the record, close quote. Is there any of that that you regret?
No.
What makes them really, really not good people?
Well, I'm not saying the entirety, but the ones who have controlled Hollywood for the last 40 years, that quote could be attributed to the campus left as well. It could be attributed to people in who are in charge in Venezuela right now. Anywhere where the left gets control, you start to see political correctness run amok. You start seeing dissenting views quashed. They use projection. Right before they do so, they start attacking the people that they're about to go after of being guilty of the very things that they do.
And lesser magic, which the Satanists do, they'll tell you, they show the thing in play before they do. They believe it makes it happen, and it gives it more power once they do it. And then you have the Podesta plan that if Trump won, they would actually do this and have the military turn against Trump, but now they've tried it. It's not an endorsement of Trump. He's doing some things I don't like right now. The point is, they are literally pre-programming this and admitting it.
Yeah, and they're willing it into happening, and they're showing everyone an example of what it would be. So that, again, the revelation of the method, you see what's there, and it makes it okay for it to happen. And it's a form of also of predictive programming.
And you started Joe, but then I do it too. He cut you off on another subject. Elaborate, because I've studied the Graham Grimoire's black magic, all that stuff to understand these people. They talk about, you have to show them, you have to tell them, that's metaphysical rule. It also gets them ready, and it makes it even more powerful when you actually do it, and then you realize that they're doing this. Speak to that if you can.
Well, we live in a universe of mind, and the one thing I've started to realize is that these kind of forms of spells, this magic is real. When you believe something enough, you create a reality.
Yeah, we call it a spell. What it is a narrative to control your mind, and we can build incredible things. So it's a program.
It is a program. You select it, you project it, you expect it, and then you collect it. It's the spec method, and it actually works. And so people who are using it for, you know, there's good spells and bad spells, and there's spells that are promoting humanity, and then there's spells that are disintegrating humanity. When-
what's this? Oh, I've got Power Plant. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly, with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
You're listening to The American Journal with Rex Jones and Tim Tompkins. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Podcast in the world. I am your host, Rex Jones, joined by Tim Tompkins, of course, sitting here in studio today, running up the news for you guys, going through it with a fine-tooth comb and from a 30,000-foot view, but also at the ground level. Tim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, today's another day.
Today is another day.
We get to do this again. Always a pleasure to be able to have fun on this show.
Yeah, isn't it just a blast to be able to come in here and get prepped and work with the crew? And then we get to sit in here and basically we get to do our show on the network. And
yes,
it's phenomenal. And I love doing it. I know you do too. I thought yesterday went really well as well.
Yesterday was actually a really good day. I think we had Simon Dixon on yesterday.
Yes.
And he just had a lot to unpack about these hidden systems and the financial industrial complex.
We kept asking him questions and we were kind of looking to get to some like breaking news type of stuff, but he wants to give you like deep level overview on every point. And we really hope, we know our viewers and listeners are like really highly intelligent people that like those kinds of conversations. We appreciate you being here today. We hope to get you more breaking news updates.
Yeah, so
that's what Suleiman does.
That is exactly what Suleiman does. So we have Suleiman on at the top of the third hour at 10 o'clock. He's going to be coming on. He's one of those guys that actually watches breaking news as it happens. He's in spaces for
he's
12 hours a day.
So this is a guy that's live like 6 out of 7 of the days of the week. He's live for like 12 to 14 hours. He's on these calls, and what they do in these calls, it's a room, it's a Twitter space. We kind of all know what they are right at this point, but it's just people sharing the latest breaking news based on local events, people that live in these areas, people that know military officials, just constantly calling in breaking news, calling in update, explosion, chaos, war. And he's the guy really since the 12-day war that's been tracking all of it.
Yes, he has been tracking it.
So it's not just a thing he started to do now. So there's a lot of context he'll be able to give us as well for what's going on. And what I really want to know, and I know you probably want to know this as well, Tim, is what the hell do the civilian population think of what's going on right now? You look at these areas and you're like, when is a revolt going to ensue?
Now, which region are you talking about? The Iranians?
The Gulf states.
The Gulf states?
The Gulf states specifically.
Okay, so they were talking about this yesterday in a spaces that I was in, and these two guys were debating. Actually, someone was debating with Simon.
Right.
And somebody was trying to say that, you know, the Gulf states would just start revolting against their leadership. But no, they're honestly mostly happy because they have a good standard of living and they have all the things they need. The only scenario I could see where they would revolt is if you have a scenario where, you know, the desalinization plants are taken out.
Well, I mean, that's not like a far off scenario. That's very realistic. I mean, that's what's happening right now. They're hitting civilian infrastructure already on both sides. And you talk about the people being comfortable. They're comfortable until the power goes off, right? So like it's a very fragile situation.
Yeah. I mean, now that does open up the door for that to happen on the other end, because Iran also has the same issues where they don't just have endless resources of water. They also have salinization.
Sure, but their desalinization only accounts for 3% of their total water pool, whereas some of these nations, it's a majority. I mean, if you look at Israel, for example, and this is just why, like, me and Tim were anti-war. We look at it just from a perspective of, like, why would you do this? We're not like, we're taking America and Israel's side. We're also not like, we're taking the Iranian side. That's not our position. We look at this as like,
oh, well, the Mercedes hit the 18-wheeler on the highway, and there's a giant eight-car fire now,
yep.
And then there's body parts everywhere in the street. Why the hell would you do this? Is that not your calculation as well?
Yeah, and here's the thing. I see criticism. I get criticism every single day, depending on how you look at it, what your opinions, what
we are the worst are. People ever. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm horrible. No. I'm a little impish today.
No, but it is true. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. But at the end of the day, we are trying to also find our way through the information just like everybody else.
And there's we can make mistakes.
News. Yeah, we can make mistakes. But there's breaking news like every single day. There's something new happening on the cycle. So
you want to get to that? Let's get to Dear Leader's latest tweet. And here's the thing. We always put together a great presentation when we come in here. But at the same time, when we come in here, a new Trump tweet immediately drops. Yeah. It's like a feature of the show. I'll go ahead and read it now.
This was at 7:44 a.m.
Yup. April Fool's Day. Maybe it's a joke. Iran's new regime president, much less radicalized and far more intelligent than his predecessors, has just asked the United States of America for a ceasefire. We will consider when Hormuz Strait is open, free, and clear. Until then, we are blasting Iran into oblivion. Or as they say, back to the Stone Age. President DJT. So, I don't believe it's a new guy other than Prochevskin. And Prochevskin's been very clear throughout this entire thing. Prochevskin was a moderate, and he was elected because there is that large portion of the Iranian people that do want to work with the West and want to be more liberal and secular and these things, right? But as we did a deep dive on, maybe we need to do it again. Tim, you explained very clearly how their leadership structure works. Maybe you could break that down.
Yeah, so
The Supreme Leader and all that.
Yeah, the Iran system is a little bit different. Ever since they overthrew the Shah, they used to have a different they used to have a monarchy system back in the 50s when the Shah was in place. And then you had the 70s hit, and then Ayatollah came in. They made it more of a religious structure. So with the Supreme Leader is almost like a walking authority on Earth. And
there's Allah to them, there's Muhammad to them, and then there's that guy.
Yeah, Supreme Leader is like right up there at the top.
To the Shia Muslim,
right? And so then he also delegates and dictates some of the other people that are underneath him as well. But again, he is the top of the spear.
And he runs the IRGC, and a panel of clerics are the people that he's supposed to be held accountable to. The government is kind of like it's a lesser organization than the actual military. The Supreme Leader makes national security decisions.
IRGC has a lot of control over the country and the direction. And the president is kind of like almost like a puppet head in certain aspects. He focuses more on domestic.
I would just say like it's more like a Secretary of State, perhaps, you know, or not even Secretary of State, like Secretary of the Interior, you know, kind of a guy that handles domestic. Cabinet like positions. But let's get to this because it's everything we're talking about and more from CBS News. Trump to give important update on Iran at 9 p.m. tonight. Okay, now we've also seen Keir Starmer come out. We've also seen the Australian Prime Minister come out, and they're all talking about the Strait. They're talking about the oil crisis. I think this is going to be a preamble for the ground invasion. What do you think?
You know, this could be either a fiery speech where there's something that comes out of it, or it could be a nothing burger.
I think we're out of nothing burgers.
Are we?
Dude, all right. So like me and Tim, like we're working at the nothing burger shack. Like I'm flipping the burgers. You're putting them in the bag, giving them to the guy at the window. Like we got a whole system going, and then we're out of nothing burgers. And then we have an actual, like, the big enchilada is coming and we're not prepared to cook it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what this is. Cause how many Trump speeches have we watched? We're like, this is going to be the thing. He exposes the globalists in a prison. And he's just like, my runways are the best. Big, beautiful runways like he did at the RNC right before he got elected. I think we're out of those now. I think it's going to be crashing out for real.
Yeah. I think he's at the point where he's feeling the pressure. He has to be feeling the pressure.
The rest
of the world is feeling the pressure. And people at home with gas being at $4 a gallon are feeling that pressure. So, yes, you're right.
Yeah, and then Hegseth says that the upcoming days will be decisive. Well, like, what does that mean?
I think it means more bombs.
Yes.
Didn't they just use a bunker buster bomb yesterday?
I'm sure. I think we only have 33 of those in our inventory.
Mm.
So it's just a complete disaster. To add on to the complete disaster, U.S. deploys third carrier strike group to the Middle East. And this is going on in California right now. I'll go to NBC article. Another carrier strike group has deployed out of San Diego, the U.S. military or U.S. Navy confirmed, 1 month into the war on Iran. See, it wasn't a war. Remember when it wasn't a war? Remember
strategic
when it was
military operation,
hours?
Rex.
But seriously, like, do you remember when it was 24 to 48 hours?
Yeah, I mean, we
you,
said
you know, when they were saying that. Well, and we said that?
We said the Ukraine Russia war was going to end within 24 to 48 hours.
That's an excellent point. The USS Theodore Roosevelt departed Sunday to conduct. Oh, that's nice. Routine operations. Okay. Leading naval force. We're going to war. We're already in a war, but it's expanding now. Naval forces into the Indo-Pacific. A spokesperson for the U.S. Third Fleet said, adding that the flagship of the carrier group has more than 5,000 sailors and Marines who are highly trained, tested, and certified in all warfare areas. In the interest of operational security, we do not discuss future operation schedules or specific personnel numbers, the spokesperson said, before noting a carrier group's mission can be changed at any time. So they're going to combat. And like the thing is, you can play cute with the language. You can do little rhetorical games. Everyone knows what's going on.
Yes.
And because we've been doing the daily coverage, we've known what's been going on for weeks at this point. And like that's why we have to talk about these same things over and over again. Like this is a civil service to people, letting them know, hey, wake up. Wake up. Wake up and smell the roses. We're going to war, okay? Your sons and daughters are going to die. You're going to spend more and more money. You're going to be broke domestically. That's the deal, right? That's MIGA, M-I-G-A, make Israel or Iran, doesn't matter which, great again. The president literally said it himself.
He did. And it's so weird to watch this all play out because we've had conflicts and wars over specific time periods, but nothing like this.
Sure.
Because this is now the inflection point of a new world order.
Yes.
Because this is the transition.
Yes.
Everyone's seeing that the American dollar is trying to get its last strike and
clawing the money
for survival, right?
Yeah.
Because of everything that happened since COVID. I was just doing a thought experiment, and not to take away from
this
point.
Go ahead.
But if COVID never happened, imagine what would have changed. Because COVID was almost an inflection point in itself where it changed the psychology of the entire globe and specifically America.
You learn to accept these crises, right?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, look, you're locked down. You have time to think. A lot of transition happened. And I'm just thinking about like Biden messed up the whole economy. They pumped $6 trillion. And so it created this ripple effect of just change after change after change. And it's just accelerating. Like yeah. we haven't taken our foot off the gas in like 6 years, folks. Just think about that.
Yeah.
Every single year, something new has come out, something crazy, even more crazier than the previous.
That's
year.
So true. I would say even longer than that. For a decade straight, we failed to take our foot off the gas. I mean, you look at the initial years of the first Trump administration, like that golden era period, which was really real between like 2016 to like late 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's because we weren't involved in putting our foot on the accelerator. But now that we've done that, there are no brakes anymore. We're going to go off the cliff.
Well, what do you think is the break? Like, how do we – is it we lose the Republicans and we lose the midterms and Democrats come in and they start filibustering everything and
– We got to primary the bad ones. We got to get really good people in there. I don't care if they're Republican, independent. It doesn't matter at this point. Here's the thing. This is why I know we cover a lot of different topics and you cover analytical systems, like to do the deep research. For me, I am passionately anti-war. And I believe every American or most Americans, like 75%+, if they are properly explained or if it's properly explained to them what's been going on, what's been taken from them, we've all been robbed. Okay, so it's easy to go up to somebody and say, hey, here are the facts. Someone came in your house and took all of your precious goods.
Well, and now we're seeing all of the dissatisfaction play out in the polls, do we not?
Yes, absolutely. And that's an excellent transition. Can we go to, let's see where it is on the
clip
sheet.
Number 11, I think.
Clip number 11, Donald Trump's net approval rating. I believe that is.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and roll that because I'm curious.
Absolutely.
Cost. Take a look here. Take a look at Donald Trump's overall net approval rating. This is the lowest of his term, the lowest of his second term. We're talking about minus 17 points, 17 points underwater. And unlike in Donald Trump's first term, in which he was negative basically throughout his entire term, Trump actually started off in positive territory here in his second term. But now he's at the lowest point of his second term. But there's an even bigger comparison to be made, okay? So obviously Trump was elected once back in 2016, then he took a four-year break, and then, of course, he's serving his second term and it's his second presidency. So I went back and I looked at all of the presidents at this point in a presidency, all of them, all of them at this point in their presidency. And guess what? Donald Trump is the lowest ever. The lowest ever at this point in a presidency, lower than Joe Biden, lower than Jimmy Carter, lower than Ronald Reagan. He's lower than all of them. All of them at this point in a presidency. You know, you can make any sort of swimming comparison you want. Maybe you want to make a comparison with a diver like Greg Louganis. Maybe you want to make a swimming comparison, Michael Phelps. Maybe if you're me, like an old Jewish soul, you want to make a comparison with Mark Spitz. Either way, he is very much.
You heard it. All of them. All of them, Rex.
Right. And here's the thing. I'm going to turn myself down the headphones here. I keep forgetting to do that. Here's the thing that's so wild about this. The argument to people watching us right now that are getting angry, they're going, they're using CNN, and CNN is fake news. Donald Trump told me that. Okay, well, Donald Trump also told you that when they gave him 100% approval rating and said that everyone liked him and that nobody else, he got better ratings than Kim Jong-un, basically, we have to accept that. So this, therefore, must also be true.
Well, even if you, whatever, who this might be from CNN, I think that's what you're saying.
Sure.
Even if you look at Fox, right?
Yeah.
Fox is reporting, I think, above 60% disapproval ratings. And I've seen plenty of videos, screenshots of that.
Sure.
Maybe if we can find something like that. It's across the board, and it's not hard to find the facts, you know. And you can live in a box or put your head in the sand and pretend like it's not happening. But it doesn't matter whether it was a Democrat or whether it was a Republican. No one wants to be in these situations or lied to, and that's what's driving these poll numbers.
Sure. The argument that I'm making by pointing out the CNN hypocrisy is what we see on Fox News a lot with the polling and with the propaganda, really, is the reinforcement of the base still supports President Trump. The base, the base, the base. You hear this over and over and over again. They're not worried about the independent. They're not even worried about the Democrats. And I think it's funny that we hear them talk about the midterms so much. They don't care about the midterms at all. They know they're going to lose everything because of their foreign policy. They made a calculated decision to spend their political capital now, in my opinion.
Well, here's the thing, Rex. When I was kind of more on the left side back in the early 2020s,
right?
I was looking at all these Democrats drinking the Biden Kool-Aid, and they're just like gulping that stuff up. And I'm like, guys,
they're doing
backflips on it.
That's right. Somersault.
So it's like, I'm like, do you guys not see the issues here?
Yes.
Are you not feeling the fact that your inflation's almost at 10% and you just continue to defend this man? I had an entire argument with my cousin. I'm like, you're deranged. You don't know what you're talking about. You're not keeping up with the facts and you're just continuing to take it.
Yeah, well, you know, the base still supports him. We think he's right about everything. We never disagree. Please, you could buy MAGA merch, okay? And that's the argument from everybody online that's still supporting this. And here's the thing. Don't do that, okay? Wear the badass Iraq Iran war t-shirt that we have, okay? Because that's promoting a true and real message. And that's the reason why we do things here like that, is so that you can be proud to wear something on your chest that is a true adventure. It's not adventure anymore to wear merchandising for a sports team that's betrayed you or sold you out. It's pro-American to be anti-war.
And don't you guys have those like 1776? Like, I mean, the original founding fathers, they had their own. That is what we should really be anchored in,
and
right?
And that's exactly what my dad says. And everyone's going, you're not MAGA, you're not MAGA. Well, we were 1776 far before we were MAGA. We were constitutionalists. We were classical liberals, as we described ourselves. And look how all the art and wonder and beauty and history has been taken out of politics, and all the knowledge of the people that came before us and what they said about these specific situations. And it's been replaced by an orange guy on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And the boomers just watch it. And we watch it too. So we're just as guilty.
Now,
let's go to clip one, actually.
Yeah, let's go to clip one.
Let's go to Trump.
Better quality Trump.
Prices. Today they hit $4.
We're at $4, and we have a country that's not going to be throwing a nuclear weapon at us in six months.
But Americans are feeling the effects in the interim.
And they're also feeling a lot safer.
What is the plan to bring them back down?
All I have to do is leave Iran, and we'll be doing that very soon. And they'll become tumbling down. And stock prices were up today almost to a record because they know two things. Number one, we have a safe country. We had to take a little detour because we had a madman named Khomeini, who sadly is no longer with us.
Khomeini.
So all those Americans, I believe the 13 Americans dead and the hundreds of casualties so far, the hundreds of injured, it's just, you know, a little excursion, a little detour we have to take.
Hey, Rex, calm down. Just like Pam Bondi said, and now Trump's reiterating.
Dude, the stock market.
The S&P 500.
Dude, I keep forgetting
about
the stock market.
It's at all-time highs. That's all you need to pay attention to, folks. Dude, we don't care if your gas price is at $4.
Dude, when I hear that, I'm just like, I got to vote Republican down the ticket. Like, it's just like neural programming. It just works on me. And that's what they think works on you. And they give you that information. And it's just the average American, because of the price increases, they know it's not true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like we covered yesterday, if the stock market goes up, these companies, if they make more money, they pay themselves dividends off of these crises.
Yes. We did cover that yesterday.
Literally.
Talked about that. Crises create opportunities for the companies, and they do not trickle that down to you guys. And the problem is, like you had mentioned, prices go up quickly. They ain't coming down.
No. Let's go to clip number three. Let's go to Donald Trump mocks Iran to close this segment out.
The Iranian government threatened a bunch of U.S. companies today in the region, including Google, Apple.
With what? What did they threaten them with? PB guns? Or?
Well, that's...
They don't have much left to threaten.
My question for you is, are you...
I don't know. I mean, what are they... You made a statement. What did they threaten them with? I don't know. Tell me, how did they threaten them?
Well, all I know is that they threatened them, sir.
What does that mean?
Fair enough.
He said something nasty?
Is the government... Touch with these companies? Are you helping to backstop them?
You don't even know what the threat was. What was the threat? I haven't heard it. What was the threat? Did they say they're going to blow them up? They're going to hit them? You know what they're not going to do? They're not going to hit them with a nuclear weapon.
Yeah. Is this something you're concerned about, sir?
No.
Iran's IRGC issues a warning that they will target 18 U.S. technology companies if the U.S. continues targeted assassinations of Iranian leaders beginning on April 1st. Those companies include NVIDIA, Apple, Microsoft.
Most of those people are dead already. Yeah, Peter.
What do you think about this?
I think he spent too much time at the cinema. You know, I think he thinks that he's in a movie, and, you know, he may be partially right about that. He is in a movie, but it's not an action movie. It's a horror movie, and you're the monster. Like, that's where we're at right now. And he goes, they're going to threaten us with what? They're going to threaten us with BB guns? No, the strait is closed.
Yeah.
The strait is closed to Western
traffic. The threat is as real as possible. Iran knows they have some cards to hold.
Sure.
And so they're flexing those muscles.
Sure. And the thing is, maybe you could even make an argument that the U.S. is quote unquote doing well if you use the metric of like killing the leadership and trying to destabilize the country as a whole. You can't make the argument of like there is no battle. We've won the battle when you're actively fighting.
No, that's Vietnam rhetoric.
But like, yeah,
it is.
Literally.
We've bombed Operation Orange. We got all the chemicals out there. We burned a million civilians. We killed a lot of the North Vietnamese. And we're winning. But, well, sir, we haven't moved the battle lines. Well, it doesn't matter. Well, just pay attention.
In Vietnam, all we had to do was establish a base and, you know, get our people out of there and whatever. And look how that turned out, right? We're entering into another quagmire. And the thing that we discuss a lot on these shows is that you don't get to pick and choose these global decisions. Even if you are the president of the United States, like we talked about with Simon and so many other phenomenal guests, Tim, the reality of these transnational capital forces and just entities around the globe, the president and others are middle management at best. So yes. We're entering into an age now where people have been trained to focus on the leadership instead of the man behind the curtain. Well, I'm here to tell you right now, on the American Journal, that is what we focus on, the man behind the curtain, what he's doing, who or what he actually is. And we're so happy to be here with you today. I want to remind you that for every product that you buy, you're going to get a subscription. That's a very cool offer. You're going to get every subscription that you get, you're going to get a limited edition t-shirt. You want to get that limited edition t-shirt now, thealexjonesstore.com. I may mess it up. Don't mess up the URL. Go to realexjonesstore.com right now.
CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these Embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN Zone website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where they put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think of methylene blue? He goes, I've been on it since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I went and did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theallshowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theallshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theallshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
First hour on American Journal. And look at that. Look at that. We're all out of nothing burgers.
We are out of nothing burgers.
We got some news for you.
Would you like some fries with that nothing burger, Rex?
I don't know. I need ketchup with the nothing burger for sure. But we're out of them. We got big enchiladas to share with you guys. We got breaking news roundup. Tim, take it away.
Yeah, so we got some new things developing today. We got a Supreme Court hearing that's happening. The Supreme Court is going to be looking at the birthright citizenship issue.
Trump wants to end
it. And Trump wants to end it. And Trump, I think he is going to be attending the Supreme Court as they deliberate on this. So let's go ahead and read that article, please.
For sure. The stakes in the case are high, putting on a collision course more than a century of executive branch action, the Supreme Court precedent, and the text of the Constitution itself, or more specifically, the citizenship clause of the 14th Amendment. Of course, the headline is Supreme Court to weigh Trump's bid to end birthright citizenship. Trump administration officials view the order in the high court's consideration of the case as a key component of his hardline immigration agenda, an issue that has become a defining feature of his second White House term. Opponents of this argue the effort is unconstitutional and unprecedented. It could impact an estimated 15 or 150,000 children born in the U.S. annually to non-citizens.
Yeah, so this is going to be an issue because you're looking at the 14th Amendment in question here. I want to read a little bit of the 14th Amendment for you guys because I had to go and refresh my memory because they all get blurred sometimes. So the 14th Amendment says, "No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws." Now, again, this is the problem with the Constitution. It is open for interpretation depending on who's interpreting it.
Well, you got to look at the time period. I believe this was intended for freed slaves and the children of freed slaves, mm-hmm. because they would try to say, oh, like this is a illegal immigrant. This isn't an American citizen. Right. That would be the argument now. And we live in an age now where it's estimated up to like 100 million people have migrated to the U.S. over yes. periods of time.
And look, I know why he's attacking this, right? Because if you look at it, there are people that purposely come into the country illegally. They have a kid. And then as the kid grows up, eventually they can apply to have their parents stay here because there's an anchor point. And a lot of people who come from the southern border, they are doing that. So it is tricky. You know, I don't have an opinion to where I'm like, well, we need to end the citizenship of people being born. I think it's a bit of a drastic play, and he's kind of grasping for straws here. But
America has all these incentives to come here. Basically, like if we can pay for you to come here, we can find you a place to stay. We can give your kid citizenship if your kid is born here. You can have remittances that you send back home. All you have to do pretty much is cross the border. And we've lived in time periods specifically, like we criticized Trump a lot. Biden administration was evil. He literally told them to immediately surge the border. You had people coming in hordes, giant caravans wearing Biden t-shirts. I mean, you can just look at the videos and images of this stuff. I'm not making it up. And people that are unfamiliar with that, maybe that are more on the left or liberal side, will go, "Hey, man, that's not true, bro. That's not true. People just looking for a better life." Yes, they're looking for a better life, but they're being exploited by a predatory system to use them as a new permanent underclass.
No, you're right. And then also they were using it to pack in specific regions to where they were trying to sway the vote more Democrat ways.
It's true. And you can't argue with that. It's just a fact. And people criticize you, me, all of us sometimes, Tim. We're just like, give people information. It's just true.
Well, this was actually my number one or two issue on why I voted for Trump specifically was because of the mass migration and the illegal immigration. Because I had a lot of people who I knew who came here legally.
Right.
And were having so many problems just to stay in the country. They had been here for 6 years. They had been paying taxes like 30%+. They're making six-figure jobs, paying into the American economy. They don't even get Social Security check at the end because they're not a citizen, but they're still paying into Social Security. So you see those situations and you're like, okay, this person's working really hard to stay here. And somebody just crosses over and put you in a hotel. They say, go to the bodega, go get a breakfast sandwich and chill out for the next 10 years and you're good to go. Oh, and we'll help you get a Social Security card and we won't kick you out, whereas they make it harder for some of these educated immigrants.
Right, and that creates a thing where we can have the debate on legal immigration, but people coming here legally are generally trying to assimilate to the American way of life, to the American protocol and program. But if you're just someone that comes over here and you get flown out by the Biden administration, they give you a hotel room, they give you a credit card, and they say, look, we don't care about you learning English. We don't care about you becoming an American citizen. We don't care about any of that. Even if you wanted that, just have all the free money, go out on the street and start selling street food. And, like and then why would you assimilate? There's no reason to assimilate.
No, you're right. And the last thing I'll say, if we want to take a more left-leaning position, and I look at these things specifically, is our immigration system and the processing system for people to come in here for asylum, which there are legitimate cases where you're like running from the cartel and they're trying to kill you and your whole family. Makes sense if you might want to try to come to the United States, but it's hard for them to go through it through a regular process because the courts are so backed up. And they don't have a real process to actually get those people. And so people are like, well, I'll just skip the line and I'll just come in here. No. You need to wait your turn in line, come in here properly. But then we also need to make sure we have the systems in place and focus the energy on making it better.
I support extreme immigration restriction and potentially a moratorium, probably a moratorium if I got my way, just because of how we've been used kind of as an open invitation and open invite to the world for so long. Here's the thing. United States legally takes in between 1 and 2 million immigrants a year, the most out of any country or up there, I believe. So the thing, the idea of America being like the fascist neo-Nazi state where it's like, we don't want the immigrants here. We don't want, we take in millions and millions for years and years.
It needs to be controlled immigration.
Well, we need our country back. We need our country back. And then we can worry about having more people come in here because we don't have a country right now. Okay. And we want people in here if they are going to come that want to be a part of our country. Yes. Not a new mutated thing.
Yes. That is the biggest key, is making sure that you have the best interest of our country in mind as you go into our system. So that way you're actually pushing the country into a better direction, not degrading it and going backwards. So
sure. Like we want ridiculously patriotic people. Let's get into this next story. I'll read the headline if you want to go into it a little bit.
Yeah. So this next one, I found this morning. We've got an American journalist that was kidnapped in Iraq. Her name is Shelley Kittleson. That is a terrible situation to be in. Go ahead and read this article.
Yeah, sure. Just a little quick thought. You ever hear about those insane people? They're like, we're vegans and we're going to go bike riding through Sudan and prove that the world is love. And they get like raped and killed. Yeah. Like, I know she's a journalist. I know she's doing hard work, but it's just, it's like, why, like I am not leaving the continental United States.
FAFO.
Good grief. Okay. RIP, super sad. We hope she's alive. I don't think she's dead. Shelby Kittleson, a contributor to All Monitor, was contacted by U.S. officials multiple times with warnings about threats against her. Pray for her safety. Not trying to make light of anything. Sorry. Bit pigheaded of me to do that, including as late as last night, a U.S. official told News Nation. Al Monitor is a Washington, D.C. based media organization offering reporting and analysis from the Middle East. Here's the quotation. We are deeply alarmed by the kidnapping of Al Monitor contributor Shelby Kittleson to Iraq on Tuesday. We call for her safe and immediate release, the outlet said in a statement. We stand by her vital reporting from the region and call for her swift return to continue her important work. Alex Putsis, a non-resident senior fellow with the Atlantic Council and former Pentagon official, confirmed the abduction. Okay, so this is confirmed on social platform X, adding that he is Kittleson's designated U.S. point of contact. Damn, she is the sweetest person in the world, and she doesn't have a mean bone in her body. Putsis said in a text to News Nation affiliate The Hill, adding that she's an American citizen who has worked in Iraq for years and also reported from Syria. Very, very tragic. We hope that she is back home, free, safe soon. Absolutely horrible.
Yes.
And another, hopefully not, casualty of this regional conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Who's grabbing
them? I mean, those areas are destabilized at this point. I mean, not a lot of people still talk about Iraq or Afghanistan, but they're still going through their own sets.
They're blaming Hezbollah for it. A current U.S. official blamed Khatib Hezbollah, an Iranian-backed military group with ties to the IRGC, for her disappearance. Plitzis also suggested on social media that Kittleson might have been taken by Hezbollah. I said, read that again. The group is reported to be financed by, in part by the Iraqi government. Two cars, let's see if we can get this up, reportedly involved in the kidnapping, one of which crashed, overhead shot or article please, in the town of Al-Hasba while fleeing authorities. The Associated Press reported, look at that damage. Dude, you got shredded. One suspect was apprehended, but their identity has not been shared, the ministry said. And these are two damaged vehicles potentially involved in the kidnapping.
Insane.
Yeah.
Insane. Now, this might be independent in a vacuum. It may not pertain to the Iran-Israeli-America war, or it could be connected. But, I mean, Hezbollah is one of those proxy nations that is out of Lebanon.
I don't know if I believe that they took her.
You think it's independent?
It might be people trying to get money. It might be them. Might be somebody else. We'll track this as it develops.
I don't want to speculate.
Keep an eye on this story, Tim. Good get there. I want to go to this Larry Johnson clip making his Iran war prediction, and I have that here.
He hasn't made the final decision yet, Larry. I think that he is hoping that there is some sort of deal that emerges out of this with Iran. Do you see that as a potential possibility?
No, none at all. In fact, what he's done today, and this is open source, I'm not revealing any classified information, they are deploying F-16s. New F-16s are being ferried out of Germany into Israel and or Jordan. They're not flying across France or Spain because they've said they don't want any U.S. aircraft to fly that way. A-10s have now departed the United States. A-10s are en route. There is only one reason for those. That is close air support for ground troops. It has no other mission. Apaches have also been loaded up.
They've used A-10s in the Straits, Larry. They've flown the A-10s at low altitude in the Straits to kind of shoot at Iranian fast boats. So I think there's a world in which the A-10s get used in theater for a different reason.
That's the point. He's not backing off. He's ramping up. This is ramping up. The reality is Iran has destroyed 13 multi-million billion dollar radars, 13 of them. That's why that AWACS was in the theater the other day, because the AWACS was making up for those 13 radars. You know, two or three of those radars went for over $1 billion apiece, and another three or four were in excess of $500 million. We burned right through those. The fact of the matter is we have now depleted our Patriot missile batteries and the THAADs. They are depleted. And so we no longer have what is supposed to be our main defense against Iranian ballistic missiles. So this war is not going as Donald Trump and the Department of War are claiming. They are lying to the American people about what's happening.
Money, 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 money,
money. Money gone. Money burned, dude. that's the thing. It's like they hit that signal plane, the AWAC or whatever he said it's called. I'm not a military expert, just a geopolitical enthusiast at the end of the day. They hit that plane, and that plane was only there because of all the radars being blown up. So, like, this is not whatever Trump called it in the clip, a minor excursion or, like, a little detour. We got to take a little trip, you know, down the road to get some milk. Well, Dad took a trip to get some milk, and now Dad's not coming back.
Hey. At least we know where the $200 billion is going.
Yep.
We know where it's going, guys. So the new F-16s and the new planes that are flying over there, I was surprised that France and Spain did that, where they said, you're not allowed to come through our airspace.
Well, I mean, the cracks are really starting to show. And you think about Europe as just the biggest, like, lapdog vassals for the American Empire. Yeah. And granted, Italy and Spain, they're a little bit more on the fringes, a little bit more nationalist than, say, like, UK, France, Germany, like, countries like that. Like, Keir Starmer is our, like, punk B-word. And we literally, like, we do whatever we want. That's where, like, we're sending bombers in and out of there right now. And they're like, we're not involved. And they're like, you're directly involved. But these other nations, they have more of a spine because it's – the emperor has no clothes. He's naked.
I think for France, Macron has been pissed off.
He has been pissed off.
More than any other European country. He's been disrespected probably more than any of the other European leaders. Remember that motorcade where he made him walk like five blocks to the White House?
Yeah, Trump made Macron walk down the street like a plebeian.
So and he's got like TMZ in his face, and you got all the cameras and
like
the flashing.
You got like a guy on the street. Hey, I want to take a photo.
Take a photo with me.
And it's like you're not on like NCIS. Like
and he's on the phone with Trump. And he's like, hey, man, I can't get past this barrier. Can you do something? He's like, no, you can walk. It's only a short distance.
You know, France isn't a real country. The U.S. is America is a real country. You have to walk here.
Well, and just not even just that. And we'll go back to the original point.
Sure.
Is you look at when we have the U.N. and the speeches that go on there, and you see Trump, and he's like, you all suck.
Yes.
You have no military capacity. You are nothing without America. They remember these things.
Well, this is an excellent tie-in. Let's go ahead and go to the article. Trump wants to take us out of NATO because of Iran. Let's go to the New York Post one.
Oh, this is the video. Yep, look at that.
Yep.
He's like, sir, I need to go.
Wow.
He's like, yeah, no, you can walk.
I am the president of France. Oui, I walk down the street like a broke actor in Austin, Texas. You gonna take a photo? No, I am Macron.
No, like, come on, he's pissed. unbelievable. The guy kisses him on the forehead too.
Oh no, dude! He got mugged, bro. He got mugged walking down the street. That's about as bad as it can be. Let's go to this New York Post article because it ties in perfectly to everything you're saying. Trump strongly considering pulling U.S. out of NATO over Iran alliance. A paper tiger.
That's what he calls him.
Trump claimed NATO, quote unquote, wasn't there for the U.S. when Washington rallied behind its European allies in the face of Russia's illegal invasion of Ukraine. We've been there automatically, including Ukraine. Ukraine wasn't our problem, he said. It was a test, and we were there for them. We've always been there for them. They weren't there for us. Trump's skepticism of the alliance has been well documented with dates back before his 2016 election win. He has previously described the alliance as obsolete and told the Washington Post in 2016 that NATO was costing us a fortune. What does it look like to you?
Yeah. Again, more of the rhetoric. Now,
I'm sorry
to interrupt. Go ahead.
This guy is the NATO defense secretary. I believe Mark Rutte is his name. He comes from one of those nothing countries up in Scandinavia. He calls Trump daddy and he's gay. He's gay, openly gay, and he calls Trump daddy. He says, you know, daddy Trump, we have to listen. Like, you were the children and you are daddy Trump.
Guys, these are people in positions of power.
It's a big problem.
Now, the NATO thing has been something that Trump has been pushing for a while.
Right.
I give credit where credit's due. NATO, the other European countries, they were not paying their fair share. We were being the bodyguard for every single other European nation. Now, you look at the situation now, you know, you can't just bring everybody into a war and then cry when it's not going your way and just say, help me.
You can't declare victory in the war and at the same time say it's not a war by calling it a little excursion or a detour and say that Americans should be happy because it keeps us safe.
Could you get that meme pulled up? I know I'm jumping out of
order. Oh, yeah.
Because it just ties perfectly.
Yeah, let's get
this
Trump NATO meme.
And we'll keep talking here. But like, yes, I mean, you're doing the backhand thing and you're telling people one thing and then you're actually slapping them and punishing them for another thing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, this meme. I actually laughed.
Yeah, it encapsulates everything.
It does encapsulate everything.
But like, these are unforced errors, people. These are unforced errors. These are things that, like, you do nothing, you get a better result. That's what an unforced error is. Oh, NATO sucks. And then he invades Iran.
Puts the tire on. I used to do that as a kid.
Why is Europe doing this to me? Yeah, it's like you did it to yourself. All you had to do was do nothing, basically. And like, we had these people eating out of the palm of our hands. And I think you see the biggest reflection of American power in that there are still nations that are obeying us and listening to us. And we've lost so much in this past month. We've lost so much credibility.
We have.
Imagine if we just spent that credibility on making deals and making things better around the world. Guys, that's the message we want to convey. Just imagine how good your life would be if there was an actual trade deal with another power that actually had resources. But oh no, we can't ever work with them. Russia, China, evil, evil, evil. We are the best. How's that working out?
Well, here's the thing. China is positioning itself now. They have done a master stroke of genius, and this is not me praising like China. I really am America.
China
first.
Number one.
I do not want China to beat us in this race in terms of power. Like, the United States, when it's on the right side of history, does make the right decisions. It is a net positive. But clip number 7, I just want to quickly play that before we go to break here, because it shows, I was looking at this, and it shows specifically how you have to buy the yuan for gold.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, how were they able to, like, they've been sitting and plotting. This is what I call
40
chess.
Well, it's Confucianism. All they have to do is wait for us to, you know, tire ourselves out. But we'll go to the clip. Excellent point.
On Russian oil, which tells us how desperate the situation actually is getting. And of course, China has the payment rails. Now, what's interesting is that the yuan is not actually freely traded. Like, you can't just go buy it on an exchange right now like dollars or euros. The only practical way to get yuan is to sell something China wants. And historically, what China's always been willing to accept is gold. So the actual transaction looks something like this. You sell your dollars, you buy your gold, you sell that gold to China in exchange for yuan. You take that yuan to Iran, and then you buy the oil, and your ship gets home safely. All right, so China now gets to sort of be right in the middle of this transaction. It gets to decide the exchange rate between gold and oil, which means China's deciding what the dollar is worth relative to everything else.
copying U.S. homework. Not good. Bad, bad, bad. Not allowed to do it.
You know, but this is what I'm saying. This is 4D chess.
Yeah.
When you look at how China is positioning itself, it knows that getting into military conflicts and trying to bully everybody around openly does not work. They're like, let's do something different. While America degrades itself, rips its own limbs apart, let's go ahead and position ourselves to where everybody realizes, hey, come over here. It's safe with China. Right. You can trade with us. Right. But then the gold is the main thing. Gold is a commodity that everybody in the world values.
Right.
There's going to be a point at which the American dollar, this fiat currency, is no longer going to be trusted. And the whole point of fiat currency is it's backed by the faith.
And that, when trust falls, it falls out of the sky.
It falls out of the sky. So imagine now you're like, okay, I want physical assets now, and America's gold is slowly being drained, just like in the 70s, which is why Nixon had to take us off of the gold standard. Rex, we don't even know how much gold we actually have in Fort Knox.
Rumor is we don't have any. And here's the thing. Oh, the Fort Knox audit, the U.S. Treasury audit of all the gold everywhere. Notice how we heard all about that and they get rid of Elon. We don't hear anything about that anymore. They said they wanted to take cameras in there and live stream it. I mean, here's the thing.
That would have been fantastic.
I think at the root of what all of this is it's an attempt to distract us. Like all these crazy stories we get every day, all the constant BS and clips. It's a crap screen to just get us blinded to the reality that's taking place around us. Because if you've been paying attention, if you've been watching what's going on, we're being ushered out. We're being replaced. The Chinese are coming to eat our lunch and they're copying our homework to do it.
And the Russians are right behind them, brother.
Yep.
That's right behind them. They're making money hand over fist, and they get to benefit from all of the oil and be China's best buddy. So the two of them have been winning this Cold War, unfortunately.
And it's so mysterious. And this is why we point out the Israel issue so much. Is like, why would you do this? Why would the West do this and cede all this power to China or Russia? We've heard the argument from Chase that it's about the IMEC corridor and it's about securing that. But like, we can't win in that region. Yeah. To have that conflict, to have the reason to have the conflict, it's not a decapitation strike. It's a new world war.
And I know Simon kind of had a more complex theory where he was talking about the financial industrial complex and all the things that they're moving around and positioning where there's those people that are controlling scenes. But it's very hard to tell at this point who's actually pulling the strings and what the implications are 5-10 years from now.
Sure, and even more rapidly than that, we talked about how time seems to be speeding up. Well, we hope you're feeling it with us here. We're getting through the first hour here. Join us in the second hour for the great, phenomenal deep dive done by Tim Tompkins. And yes. After that, we have Suleiman joining us in the third hour. Breaking news, breaking updates, the hard-hitting action you want. Gray Area American Journal. Let's go.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record, good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification and the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexhillstore.com. Is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it,
We have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theobsessionstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theobsessionstore.com, and I thank you for your support.